Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Thanks again for joining us. Now, if I asked you, who does a library serve? What is the purpose of a library? What would you say? Well, it's a place to find books, information, maybe a quiet place to do your studies. For some, though, it's a safe, warm space to use a computer, because not everybody has a computer, and not everybody has a home to go to. The library is the setting for a new drama written and directed and starring Emilio Estevez. It's titled The Public. The film is set inside the Cincinnati Public Library as the city experiences an Arctic chill. Estevez plays Stuart Goodson, a librarian who finds himself in a difficult position as a group of homeless men that regularly visits a library decide that they're not going to leave when the library closes.
When it gets this cold, I don't know why they don't just let us stay here.
Mr. Goodson, I gotta talk to you.
There's not enough shelter for us people on the street.
Who is us?
We could all come stay at your place.
The film also stars Alec Baldwin, who plays the detective handling negotiations, and Miami's own Gabrielle Union as a reporter who's covering the events as they unfold. Joining us now in studio to discuss this, the film's co-writer, director, star, Emilio Estevez. Emilio, such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I deeply appreciate it. Also joining us is Ray Baker, director of the Miami-Dade Public Libraries. Ray, thanks so much for coming in.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. And you know what? We will mention, too, by the way, that we are actually looking for people's stories about their library, your library in your town. And so stick around, because I'm going to ask you a little bit more about your stories. But I wanted to ask you both this. I mean, you know, we live in this era where... You know, I've got Google, I've got Netflix, I've got everything I want at home. It's really easy. But I wanted to know, you know, how Americans view their library today and why we still think libraries are important. Emilio, what do you think?
Well, first of all, librarians were the first Google.
The first, that's true.
Right. I think we have to remember that that space, that sacred space where a patron approaches the desk reference librarian and asks the question, guess what happens there? They get the question answered, and the library is where facts live. And while they're getting that service, they're not getting bombarded with ads. They're not getting bombarded with spam.
That's a good point.
Right? So recently, Forbes posted an article, I don't know if you know this, but online, and it was, why do we need libraries when there's Google and Amazon? Well, they were forced to take it down after 2 days because of the outrage by public librarians who said, this guy is full of it. And they shouted him down. So librarians who are known mostly for being quiet were not quiet on this subject.
No, that I did not know about that. It's a fascinating article. I got to find it. But Ray, for you, who is the library for, really?
Well, it's for everybody. I mean, we serve people from birth to death, so to speak. And yeah, we have people from every demographic and economic background throughout the entire county. And even if you drive through our 50 libraries throughout the county, they're all in different neighborhoods, different communities, with people with different backgrounds. So, yes, for everybody.
The library is, anybody who goes, people still, I go to a couple of different ones, and I see a lot of folks, a lot of people do still go to the library. Emilio, the origins of this project I found really fascinating, because it goes back more than a decade.
That's right.
You read an essay, and it sparked this idea. I think the essay was about the Los Angeles Public Library, entitled What They Didn't Teach Us in Library School, The Public Library as an Asylum for Homelessness. How did you find that?
Well, it was printed in the LA Times, but it was written by a Salt Lake City librarian, assistant director. And his name is Chip Ward, and Chip you'd know as an activist, environmentalist, and an author. So he wrote this piece. It was printed or posted on Tom's Dispatch, but then the LA Times picked it up. I read it. I was moved by it. I had done the bulk of my research for another film called Bobby at the downtown branch of LAPL. And so I knew what Chip Ward was talking about in this piece. And the piece is basically about how libraries had become de facto homeless shelters, and how librarians were now first responders and de facto social workers. And so I went back to the library, as I mentioned, and to see just how bad it had gotten, according to Chip, that it wasn't just localized to Salt Lake City, that it was a national epidemic. And sure enough, everything that he was describing was happening in my downtown branch.
And I mean, because again, over a decade to put this together, the film is finally coming out, but right. I mean, did you know there's a story that has to be told?
Yes, I began to imagine what it would look like on, and again, we don't experience the sort of cold that the Midwest does, but I began to think about a story and imagine a story that what would happen if it did get cold here, and the patrons decided to stage an old-fashioned 60s Occupy sit-in. And how law enforcement would react, and how the media would spin it, how the local politicians might twist it and turn it to change the narrative to their benefit. So again, this was back in 2007, and every year that the movie wasn't getting made, there was, and I'm not saying that I'm prescient on any level, but I'm just saying there were more arguments that and reasons for why this movie needed to get made as the years went on. And I found myself not being able to let it go and not being able to shake this idea of getting this film made. Of course, now I look like an opportunist and a vulture. but that is certainly not the case. This was something that was a long time gestating and a long time to get to the screen. And it's just sort of a happy / sad accident that it is in fact more relevant now than it would have been.
Ray, I mean, you know, you hear about this movie, and I actually started looking around. I said, wait a minute, how many movies have I ever watched in my life about libraries and about a librarian? This is the central character, but not just the character he plays. The library plays a central character role in the whole story. But I mean, you found out about it. How did you make it happen, bringing him here and making sure that as many people could watch it?
Well, you know, I wish it was me who had the magic to make it happen.
Oh, go ahead and take the credit. Why not?
We really got a call out of the blue. And, you know, when we first heard about this movie last October or so, you know, many of our staff were interested, of course, and excited about it. And we got the call that we were going to be treated to a private screening of it. And, you know, we are going to be having that screening tonight. And it's going to be a bunch of our library staff, as well as some board members from our local homeless trust and other organizations that are tied into libraries and homelessness care throughout the county. So we think it's going to be a good learning experience for all of us, and hopefully will, you know, re-inspire us in how we approach, you know, our approach to dealing with people who are experiencing homelessness on a day-to-day basis.
And, you know, I mean, I also wanted to get your take, too, on the depiction of librarians and life in the library, a daily life in a library. Your thoughts on that and how it was covered?
Well, I thought it was very realistic. Obviously, like I said, we have 50 different libraries, and they're all very different. You know, our libraries that are closer to the tourist areas and the downtown areas tend to have, you know, a larger number of homeless folks in them than some of the others. But, you know, what we saw in the movie was very much like what we see on a day-to-day basis in the main library or the Miami Beach Regional Library, where we're accustomed to having a large number of folks who are experiencing homelessness. And they're part of, you know, our everyday life, as well as any other patron who walks in the building.
You know, the movie, I think the central theme, at least from what I gathered from it, is, again, how we view this particular portion of our population. Really, though, it tackles, I mean, you're talking about, you know, how politicians handle it, the media handles anything, and also really how police, too, their
That's
relations
right.
with
That's right.
The homeless and the communities of color. But let's stick to the issue of homelessness and this conversation about this portion of our population that we see all the time, but we kind of just brush off because we just do. It's just, I don't know, I can't tell you why. So much of this movie, Emilio, obviously it takes place in this library, and we see this population of homeless. They're regulars.
That's right.
They're bathing and cleaning themselves in the bathroom. They're spending a lot of time on the computer. Your experience, I mean, in libraries throughout your life, how often did you see this portion of the population? Did you think about it?
So when I was doing research for Bobby, I was certainly aware of it. The need, though, has grown over these last 12 years. And what we've seen is an overpopulation of people who are on the streets occupying the library because their choices are very limited. So I believe that we need to get to sustainable, permanent housing first. We need to, and we can't make it conditional. So that the right now, when people are sheltered, there's like a 3 to 4 hour lag, depending on when the library opens, from when the shelters, or when you're put out from the shelter to where you, the next place you can go. So there's 3 or 4 hours. Let's start putting housing first. Let's put a roof over it, because when you start to do the numbers, and then I'll just mention the LA numbers for emergency services or emergency assistance for somebody who's on the street experiencing homelessness, it's $68,000 a year. When you put a roof over that same individual's head, it goes down to 15. So 15,000 versus 68,000. We all pay that either way. So how do we get to a place where we are at housing first, so that the libraries can not only serve those individuals experiencing homelessness, but not be the only place that they have to go?
And it's interesting you say that too. You get the sense, the tension, early in the movie, everybody's waiting to get inside.
That's right.
And it's just this line of people.
That's right.
And then,
which
of course,
is true all the way across the country. Every right. library that we visit and we get there early, they're all waiting out in front.
Right. Right. And then of course, closing time, trying to get everybody to leave.
That's right.
And telling people, well, just go to the shelter. But as one of the characters in the movie said, that's a 40-minute walk away.
That's
and
right.
And it's freezing cold outside. Ray, I mean, you know, depending on the library, but I've been to Coral Gables, Kendall here downtown as well. You know, depending on which library, you'll see maybe a couple, maybe more, maybe a dozen or more homeless, and they are hanging out waiting to get into the library, or even after it's closed, they stay within that vicinity. What's the conversation like in the libraries with librarians, with the staff, as to, you know, because look, you treat everybody the same, but at the same time, this is a unique group. They don't go to a home. This is a big, this is important for them. How do you talk about with your staff how you're supposed to treat the homeless and what to do and how to help them with their issues?
Well, you know, I hate keep going back to the idea of treat them all like you would treat anyone else, because they do have different needs than everybody else. And, you know, we try to encourage our librarian staff to help them out with getting them down a path where they're getting help with identification cards, getting access to websites where they can get help with Social Security, helping them try to get in contact with relatives that might be able to help them get out of their current station in life. So,
and an important part of the movie is how they you know, it's having internet access.
Yes, absolutely. And they sometimes need help with that. They might need help learning how to set up an email account. You know, things that some of us take for granted, you know, the librarian is there to help them, you know, push them in the right direction and hope that that help that we're giving them while they're in the library before it closes helps get them down the path when they leave the library at night, the path they need to go.
Again, I'm talking with Ray Baker, director of Miami-Dade's Public Libraries, and actor, director Emilio Estevez, who stars and wrote the new film, The Public, takes a look at the relationship between public libraries and the homeless community. It covers a lot of themes, really fascinating film. Emilio, a number of the homeless depicted in the movie are struggling with mental illness.
That's right.
Substance abuse. Looking at the research, it's estimated between 25-30% of homeless in the United States dealing with mental health issues. The research going into that, what were some of the things that you found that surprised you?
Well, it's that fine line between being a researcher or a journalist / journalist and being a vulture. Because I was allowed access and not only to the libraries and the staff and the closed stacks, and but all of the of the things that the library offers, including access to a lot of the patrons who were the regulars. And, you know, it varied from day to day. Some days I'd be spit on and screamed at. Other days I would individuals who were experiencing homelessness would share stories that were oftentimes heartbreaking, but also hilarious. And my full disclosure was, here's what I'm doing. Are you willing to participate in a dialogue? I don't know where that dialogue is going to go or how it's going to ultimately be used in the body of the film, but are you willing to have this dialogue? And for the most part, the answer was yes.
Fascinating scene. One point, you have a homeless man in the library. And again, you play a librarian, and you have to deal with a lot of people's challenges. It's not just, people make the assumption librarians are just sitting around
and
reading
all
the time.
Sit around and read all
day. You know? That's right. But you show your characters, the characters in the movie show how, no, it's, you've got all these needs, all these different people. And in one situation, you have a character who is, he's standing by the window.
That's right.
Naked.
That's right.
Singing out loud.
That's right.
And now you've got to figure out how do you deal with this guy.
Right.
How often in the research did you find that, you know, people will have mental breakdowns?
Of course, yeah. It's on the daily. And librarians, again, are not only tasked with having to diffuse situations like you see in the film, but also now they are tasked with having to learn how to administer Narcan, which is not even 12 years ago was that part of the conversation. So,
because I've heard you mention before, it's like they're not just there as a Google to answer your questions. They're first responders in a way. They're the first people, you know, they've got to deal with security issues.
That's right. That's right.
Ray, how are librarians trained? So there, it's not just about being able to find information and answer questions, but how are they trained? Is this part of the training to be a librarian to actually administer Narcan?
Yeah, the tricky thing about being a librarian is that you couldn't possibly be trained for everything that you need to know every day. And, you know, it's something, you know, quite frankly, we struggle with. And how do we get people as experts in every single one of these areas? We're not using Narcan yet, but we regularly have people who occasionally pass out in our bathrooms and need to have an ambulance there right away to, you know, revive them. So it's something that we see every day in some of our branches. A lot of our disturbances are associated with people who are mentally ill, as you were pointing out.
What's the process?
Yeah.
If you have like that scene in the movie, you have someone who's having a, you know, a mental breakdown or any kind of episode, what's the process? How are you supposed to handle that?
Sure. In the branches where we do have a lot of disturbances like that, we would have usually have either police officers or security guards in there who will approach them in a kind way and try to calm them down and usually remove them from the library. So depending on the level of the infraction, you know, we might evict them for the rest of the day, maybe the week, depending on whether or not they were violent or not. So it varies.
And yeah. The Miami-Dade library system is working with FIU in getting social workers into, or you want to get social workers into the library.
Yeah, we're trying to work on a program with them to get the students who are getting social work degrees, the master's degrees, to develop a program where they can come into the libraries and try to provide social work and work with some of our patrons that are in the libraries.
And this is a system that started in San Francisco, and it's been a very, very successful program. And it's really taken the burden off of the desk reference librarians to deal with a lot of the issues that these individuals are experiencing. There's also, and he's been traveling with us, and the he I'm going to get to in a second, Ryan Dowd wrote a book called The Librarian's Guide to Homelessness. And so he's been traveling not only with me, but before he and I met, he was traveling around the country. The book had just been published, and he offers training to specifically to librarians about how to deal with people experiencing homelessness and mental illness in an empathetic approach. And so so he's been very helpful along this 35-city tour that we've been doing on the film that started, it started last year, but it started in earnest this January.
And I want to clarify, too, if I've been saying it comes out April 5th, right?
April 5th, yes.
April 5th, thank you. Sorry about
nationwide.
That. Nationwide. Because it's actually Library Week is like a couple of days after
April
that.
April 8th, yeah. That's
so
right.
There you
so
go.
Good timing on that.
The movie, all right, so the gist of the movie then is basically here you have this Arctic chill that comes through Cincinnati, and the homeless that are in the library are like, there's nowhere for us to go. We're going to freeze to death. And they come to your character and say, listen, we're going to do what they did in Wall Street. We're going to occupy this place. Let's That's barricade right. ourselves in.
That's right.
Then your character has to make a decision.
Right.
No, you have to leave, or okay, let's do this.
But he's a librarian to the last, because even when he goes to Jeffrey Wright, his boss, the city librarian, he doesn't even tell Jeffrey's character what they're doing, because he's still protecting the patron's right to privacy. So he doesn't give anybody up. He doesn't. He is a librarian all the way to the end. In fact, you know how the movie ends. He still has his lanyard on. So,
I don't want to give anything away. Fascinating ending. You tackle the issue of homelessness. You tackle police relations with the homeless and communities of color. How again, all these different groups handle this issue. The other thing, though, too, is it makes us rethink who librarians are.
Right. And it is also it's a celebration of what nonviolent civil disobedience looks like in the extreme, right? And the fact that that action takes place in this institution, which Eric Kleinenberg calls the cornerstone of the social infrastructure that is so important and vital to every community, that this action takes place under the roof of this building is even more, it makes the action even more potent.
I will agree that I'll never hear that song the same way again. I can see clearly now.
That was an accident, by the way. It was supposed to be Journey's song, Don't Stop Believing. Mm. And they said no 2 weeks before we started shooting. So I had to find another song quickly.
I think it was a good choice.
I do too.
Very good choice. The movie is called The Public. Again, written, directed, and stars Emilio Estevez. Out in theaters, April 5th. We've also been talking with Ray Baker, director of the Miami-Dade Public Libraries. And you know what? We want to hear from you. If you've worked or you do work in a library, tell us about your training and how you handle so many of the issues. Tell us what it means to be a librarian that we don't know. We know you don't just sit around and read books. By the way, and we want to continue this conversation about libraries. Again, as we mentioned, National Library Week coming up April 7th through the 13th. WLRN is asking listeners about their local library. Tell us why you love your library. Text the word library to 786-786-7826. Again, library 786-786-7826. We'd love to hear your stories. Emilio, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Really, really fun, very fascinating film. Ray, thank you for coming in.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Still to come, we're going to go to the Lowe Museum for an exhibit from one of Argentina's former experimental artists. That's coming up next.
WLRN reaches educated professionals and business owners in South Florida. WLRN's audience can be yours as well. If your company would like to reach our audience and support independent journalism in the community, email us at underwriting@friendsofwlrn.org.
Hey, Sundial listeners, it's your host, Luis Hernandez. Starting April 1st, Sundial will be on the air twice a day, Monday through Thursday. You can still catch the show live at 1 p.m., but if you missed it, you can catch it again at 8 p.m. Sundial, telling the stories of South Florida here on WLRN.